Thank you for listening to this talk, produced by the Art Gallery of South Australia.
My name's Lisa Slade. I'm the Assistant Director here at the Art Gallery. It's my first day back after a month's break today. I've been travelling the world and looking at museums, so it's been an absolute joy to step back into my own today and to see all of these new audiences here on Kaurna country. Nyadlu Tampandi, Nyadlu Kaurna Miena Yatanga Yuandi. It strikes me that visitors outside of this country don't get to acknowledge country in the way that we do, so I'd really love to underscore that today. We are kicking off the year with an incredible lunchtime talk. Every Tuesday, every week of the year, you know we're open 364 days, we only close for Christmas Day. So every Tuesday, every week of the year, we have a lunchtime talk here, and some of you join us every single Tuesday, and it's such a joy to have you back in this new year. Today we will hear from the exceptional, extraordinary, insightful genius Jill Swan. Jill Swan has been here with us at the gallery for more than 15 years. She is also the emeritus curator of the Nora Heisen collection at the Cedars. So we are very, very fortunate to have great expertise in the house. Without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Jill Swan. If you could welcome her warmly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. You made me feel quite nervous. I'll also join Lisa in acknowledging that we meet this afternoon on the lands of the Kaurna people, Agza Kaurna Yatanga Yuandi, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and those emerging. So Lisa's already alluded to my two volunteer roles. I've got a leg in two camps, if you like, one here at the Art Gallery and one at the Cedars, which is the Heisen Estate at Harndorf. And I was there yesterday. The gallery website was a little bit misleading when I looked at it before I came in, because it featured the image up there on the high left of Hans Heisen's poppies, giving the sense that I was going to talk about Hans Heisen's art and influences. But my talk is titled, quite a long title, The Lovebirds and the Matchmaker. Selma Bartels, Hans Heisen and Mrs. Maud Vizard Wallahan. And my plan in this talk is to talk about the two artworks that are adjacent. This quite large, imposing fireplace, and then a quite large, imposing landscape, and thread some social history or a narrative between the two, because the two artists, Maud Vizard Wallahan and Hans Heisen, had a professional and personal relationship that lasted their lifetimes. Their story initially that I'm going to talk about today dates from the late 19th and the early 20th century period here in Adelaide. And I'd like to think it is a happy story to begin what I hope will be a happy year for all of us. I'm just going to do a show and tell. I'm wondering how many of you have read this particular biography. It is the only full biography of Hans Heisen, and it was written by an extraordinary South Australian writer called Colin Tealey. And Colin Tealey happened to be the principal of Wattle Park Teachers College back in the late 60s when I was a student there. And Colin Tealey took leave for a year or so to research and write this biography. If you haven't read it, I'd heartily recommend it. You still can find it, it's out of print, but you can still find it in South Australian Public Library Network, and you'll also find it if you visit different venues that sell second-hand or collector item books. I will refer to that along the way. There's an archive of Colin Tealey's handwritten notes at the Cedars, where I work on another day of the week. and also a final copy, one of very few, of the typed manuscript, pre-publication manuscript at the Cedars. And early in the book, Colin Teely recorded how the young Hans Heisen became acquainted with Miss Selma Bartels. Both were aged then in their 20s. I'll pass this around so that you can see the young people that are part of this story. And there was an unfolding series of events that led to the couple's marriage in December 1904, and at the heart of their romance was a matchmaker, Mrs. Maud Vizard Wallahan, which leads me to focus on this very impressive object and its descriptive title, which is quite lengthy: Carved Fireplace Surround and Copper Fender with Dragon Motif. And it was made by Maud Vizard Wallahan, the only item that she produced that's in our gallery collection. And it's only been here since 2019. She made it about 1907, we think, for the Women's Crafts and Art exhibition, and it features a number of materials, including mahogany, ceramic tiles, pewter, copper, and right down at the bottom, a Scottish Falkirk fireplace insert. Before we have a closer look at the fireplace, who was this woman, Maud Vizard Wallahan? Well, she was born in 1859 here in Adelaide, Elizabeth Maud Vizard, and she became a classroom teacher. In 1880, she married the boss, Mr. Wallahan, who happened to be the headmaster at Marrickville Model School. And as was required in those days, as soon as she married, she had to retire from teaching. And so she made herself quite busy by studying art privately with James Ashton, and then later at the South Australian School of Design with Harry Pellingill. One of her fellow students in the late 1890s was a somewhat younger Hans Heisen. Mrs. Wallahan exhibited regularly in Adelaide at the Society of Art, and in 1898, two of her paintings, along with one by Hans Heisen, were sent to London for an exhibition and a sale. Mrs. Wallahan was interested in many kinds of media. She practiced painting, china painting, sculpture, wood carving, and repoussé work. We'll come back to that term in a moment. But she's best remembered for her bequest that established an acquisitive Maud Vizard Wallahan Art Prize in 1954. So some of you might have seen her name in relation to that. So this fireplace is a very fine example of Mrs. Wallahan's diverse artistic skills. Rebecca Evans, who's our curator of decorative arts, has assured me it was entirely constructed by the artist, but I think at least one element she wouldn't have made herself, and that would be the fireplace, the hearth there. And this item, I believe, was located at an Adelaide business that deals in antiques and architectural items back in 2019 and was acquired for the gallery at that time. Glenn, who's one of our favourite visitors, said he didn't think it had been used, and I think that's possibly the case. But key sections of this amazing piece are of interest. So if you cast your eyes up to above the mantle, you can see two carved wooden panels set on each side of that central plaque. And in each of the panels, there are differently styled mythical creatures that face the centre. On the left is a dragon, and on the right is a wyvern. Anyone know what a wyvern is? It's a sort of a dragon, but It has wings and two legs and a barbed tail and is said to be symbolic of courage and strength. Each of those creatures is embedded in its own carved pattern of acanthus leaves. The central plaque is a mould cast pewter figurative piece in 3D relief. I would describe it as a Victorian era sentimental pastoral scene. There's a rustic fence and some overarching trees, and dominating the foreground are two embracing female figures. This plaque has been placed in a frame carved by the artist, which again has more mythical creatures. Some serpents or worms are on each side in the verticals, and then similar creatures in different patterns are at the top and the bottom. And then there are two copper elements. If you cast your eyes down to the hood above the fireplace and also the fender. We're getting down to floor level now. And each of these pieces are made very carefully in sheet copper and using the repoussé method. And repoussé is a French word that means driven back. So the sheet metal is laid in a bed of a soft but supporting material, I believe traditionally pitch, and the pattern is traced on the reverse or backside of the metal, and then the artist or craftsperson uses punch mallet to very finely punch into the metal the design they wish to achieve. So if you can see from where you are sitting, the hood above the grate has a pair of symmetrical curving lines, S-curves, that move away from a central bulbous motif. Lovely undulating curves or whiplash lines, which of course are key to the Art Nouveau design aesthetic and are a metaphor for artistic freedom. And then the fender right down at the bottom, with the metal wrapped around a solid form with mitered corners. And again, we have the wyverns, this time two inward-facing wyverns that are centred on an acanthus leaf. A little about the fireplace and Mrs. Maud Vizard Wallahan. Now, in close proximity is the very big landscape behind me by Hans Heisen, and a number of his works are in the corner over here. Perhaps this fireplace is silently hinting at the life-changing impact that its maker had on the life of Hans Heisen, particularly in 1903 and 104. So as I continue with this social context, I'll hand around some copies of very precious items that are part of the Hans Heisen Foundation archive collection. So you've already seen the photos of the young couple at the centre of the story. So Hans Heisen was a youthful German-born art student from Adelaide who studied further in Europe in late 1899 to August 1903, and he was supported to do that by four wealthy Adelaide patrons. He sent back a series of artworks to Adelaide while he was away. He was required to do that in agreement with his patrons, but he sent others for exhibition. And among them was a very romantic landscape from 1901 called Meadow Sweet that was exhibited publicly. And then 1902, a piece called Springtime Bluebells, Scotland. And that was critically acclaimed in the Adelaide press. And I quote the words that the critic had published in the paper. He described it as mystic and indicating inspiration. A painting that makes you want to look at it more than once. Now, it's understood that a young Adelaide woman of German parentage named Selma Bartels saw Heisen's work on display and she also found it memorable. Hans Heisen returned from Europe to his family's home in North Norwood, which is where Trinity Gardens is today, in late September 1903. By October the 10th, there was an interview with him published in one of the Adelaide newspapers. Hans said in this interview that he planned to start painting as soon as possible and also to teach a few pupils in his studio on the fourth floor of the Adelaide Steamship Company building. He placed advertisements in the Register and the Advertiser, and he had 500 handbills printed to pass around to the rest of the Adelaide crowds that might be interested. The handbill had details of his classes. Now, we don't have a copy of the 1903 handbill at the Cedars, but we do have one from his later 1907 classes. I have a copy here, not the real one, of course. And you can see the kind of handbill that he used to advertise his school, his classes. So, somewhere, Miss Selma Bartels saw the advertisement, and here she enters this story. She wasted little time in writing a letter of application to join Hans Heisen's art class. And the letter reads, Hurtle Square, October the 26th, 03. Dear Mr. Heisen, having heard that you intend taking pupils for painting, I'm writing to ask whether you have already formed a class, and if this is so, whether you will accept me as a pupil, for unfortunately I would be a beginner. Trusting that you have or intend to have a class for such, and that you will let me know, I remain yours sincerely, S. Bartels. As I said, I can't bring this delicate item away from the Cedars, but here is a copy. Two tiny little notepaper pages with Selma's very tidy handwriting. The letter was simply signed as S. Bartels, and Hans assumed the applicant was a male. So when he asked his mother about S. Bartels, Mrs. Heisen was not familiar with the name. I'll just add as a side note that Selma had an older brother, Frank Bartels, who was a noted pen and ink artist and engraver here in Adelaide, who sadly died at a young age in 1895. This document, the letter, remains an irreplaceable treasure in the Hans Heisen Foundation archive, being the first letter between two people who were on the verge of beginning a long and remarkable relationship. There's a second reason for its great value, and I don't know if Lisa knows this. On the reverse of the two leaves of this letter are two small watercolours that Hans later painted. He was always keen to recycle materials. And watercolour sketches, like the ones I'll show you in the copies, were the early part of Hans Heisen's process when he was working up a new composition. So this is what is on the back of those two pieces of notepaper, the watercolour sketches painted by Hans. They were preparation for a key landscape called The Coming Home. And Hans didn't really need to travel too far beyond his parents' home, where he was living at North Norwood, for this rural subject, because on the fringes of suburbia at that time, there were numerous small dairies, people with one, two, three or more cows. The finished work is in the Art Gallery of New South Wales. My colour copy of the image is not a good one, but you can see how his watercolour sketches or preliminary sketches were worked up into the oil painting. A nocturne, see a full moon in the sky with European influences of John Constable, and the French Barbizon School, the artist in France that predated the Impressionists and had an interest in painting on plein air of rural subjects. We'll come back to the coming home in a moment. So let's go again to Maud Vizard-Wallahan and how our fireplace maker had her part in this story. She had, by the early 20th century, become quite what we might call a mover and shaker in Adelaide art circles. She hosted regular soirees in her home at Rose Park, and she's described in Colin Teeley's biography as an inquisitive organiser, a fast talker, and an inveterate matchmaker. And it's my suggestion that Colin Teeley included that comment directly from Hans Heisen when he was interviewing him. She was instrumental in supporting Hans Heisen to establish his reputation and clientele. She collaborated with Fred Joyner, who was one of Hans' patrons and his solicitor, and H.P. Gill, whom I mentioned earlier, who had become the honorary curator of the gallery here. Mrs. Wallerton insisted on having a party at her home for Hans to meet his prospective art students. And among this group of a dozen females, they were all women students, she was very pleased to introduce Hans Heisen to Miss Selma Bartels. And indeed, Mrs. Wallahan also proposed that Hans should accompany his new students on a painting excursion to Victor Harbour for a fortnight in January. So, into the new year of that era, early 1904, and through the next few months, Hans was extremely busy. He was teaching his classes, he was travelling around different parts of the regions in and near Adelaide, and of course he was painting. Interestingly, Sally began corresponding with him when he wasn't close by. I'm going to call her Sally now because that is the name that her family used, and it's the name that we use as we conduct our tours at the Cedars. In May 1904, Sally organised Hans' very first solo exhibition in Adelaide, held in his studio. When family members asked if Hans intended marrying Sally, he joked that he was thinking of it because she owned the largest paint box in his class. And I'm going to leave you to seek out the biography, Hans Heisen, Heisen of Harndorf, as it's called, at your local public library, or perhaps in a second-hand book outlet. And you can read more about the progress of the courtship in particular. And now I'm going to ask you to make a bit of a move, because we need to focus on the big painting that was being painted through this year in 1904, when Hans was so busy. Now I think we'll let Glenn move his vehicle. You're okay, all right, but the rest of you might like to take your stool and adjust it to a position where you can see better the landscape up there. I'll leave you to decide how you'll do that. It's a very large scale oil. I've often tried to imagine how Hans had this set up. I think he did have two rooms for his studio, but of course with about 12 art students around him at different times during that period, it would have been a lot of organisation of the space. Now, the origins of this painting lay in a painting excursion in early April. It was the Easter weekend in 1904. And Hans Heisen, with his great mate, who also an artist, Reg Comley, planned to put their bicycles on the train here in the city and go up to Aldgate. So they hopped off the train at Aldgate with their camping gear, and their art gear and their bicycles and set off down Germantown Hill. And I'm mentioning these places. I know some of you may not know them, but some of you do. Germantown Hill is quite steep. Reg Comley, unfortunately, fell off his bike. So he crashed. He was okay. The bike was badly damaged, and I guess the camping gear and the art gear went in all directions. So they agreed that Reg would limp back to Adelaide and that Hans would continue on the planned 2 to 3 days excursion. He camped by himself in woodland areas around Meadows and Echanga, hills towns that you may know well. He took the idea that he would make use of the time to capture truthfully the light all the way through the day, and also the very fine details of the character of the Australian bush. He took his material home to inform his next compositions, and in particular this one that we're looking at now. So between his classes, Hans completed this enormous canvas in his studio, and guess who gave him the title? Sally suggested it should be called Mystic Morn. Mystic Morn. I wonder why. I wonder why she thought that was a title and he agreed. What do you make of the word mystic? I'll let you think about that. So what's happening here? What hits your eye first? It's not a great deal of activity. We're looking at a very early morning scene. Sun is still to rise. It's the end of a dry summer, a typical scene in South Australia in the hills before the season has broken, before the first rains of winter have come. The detail of observation is explored in a range of brushwork that Hans has employed. If we look down at the foreground, there's darker tones. We can see the grasses still in the shadows. There's an almost dry creek and just a puddle of dark muddy water. There are shards of fallen bark lying on the grass. And some of them flipped over so that you can see the pale inner surfaces. And then we have these wondrous pattern of sinuous curving saplings. No big gum trees here. We don't see the monumental gums that we have over in Red Gold, the trees that were hundreds of years old that he painted so often as his career advanced. He stayed with the saplings. Sinuous curving saplings exposing these white grey tones of timber where the bark has fallen off. And look at his observation of the patterns that are left on the trunks of the trees. And then that soft grey green that he's used to paint the eucalyptus leaves, some of them quite close to the picture plane down in the lower left, that lovely colour that we're so familiar with in the eucalyptus. And these all break up the textures of the dry grass and the dirt and the bark. If you look towards the midground of the work, you see these vertical lines of the spindly trunks, and then further up, masses of the foliage lifts our eyes. And of course, those curved lines are reflected in the Art Nouveau details of Maud Vizard Wallerton's fireplace, which is here behind me. There is tranquility and stillness, but this is cut through by the cattle moving across the scene. I suggest they've been called for milking. There's a farm just on the other side of the trees, and someone's calling out, and they are taking off. It makes a strong horizontal line as they run through the trees. And our eyes are drawn across the composition with the cows to the midpoint. And then we can drift our eyes upwards and take in the first light of the sun that's soon to rise. And from the whole composition, from the lower edge to the top, we have these drifts of deep gold up to that pale luminescence. So is this the mystic of the morn? Is it the light that's mystical? I'll let you think about that. Now, there are some other associated artworks that broaden out our understanding of what Hans had been working on. The art gallery has a charcoal study for the painting up there. I don't remember seeing it hanging, maybe long ago in the Hans Heisen exhibition back in 2008, I can't remember. It perhaps was painted on site, drawn on site, or it might be a further advanced sketch of his idea from what he did draw in the woodland at Meadows. There is also a looser watercolour study without cattle that is in the hallway at the Cedars, and I don't have a copy of that with me. And then there is another major painting called Sunshine and Shadow from 1904-05 that is in the National Gallery of Victoria. A similar composition, but no cattle. And I'll just pass a copy of this around. I apologise for my basic home printer. The colours are not particularly good. But in that piece, Sunshine and Shadow, it's more of a midday view of the same setting. There's more light, much more light on the ground and the grasses, and if you look to the top, we see a blue sky with white fluffy clouds floating through it. So I think you could say that that Easter weekend trip proved to be very fruitful for Hans in creating these works. Now, the coming home, which I handed around earlier, and Mystic Morn, this big painting, was shipped to Sydney on completion. Hans didn't have to pay any freight. That was all free, courtesy of the Adelaide Steamship Company. And both of these works were shown at the Society of Art exhibition in Sydney. I think that was September. Mystic Morn was critically acclaimed and awarded the Wynne Prize for Landscape. And that was the first of 9 Wynne Prizes for Landscape that Hans Heisen won in his career. It was purchased in December, of course, for our State Gallery, and remains nearly always on display. I've accessed Trove a lot in researching many, many things. I did find, it doesn't reproduce very well, but a newspaper report about Hans Heisen's successes in regard to those two paintings. So with these major achievements, Hans Heisen realised that marriage to Sally could be what he termed feasible. I'm not too sure what Sally thought. Clearly she agreed. Their engagement was formally announced in Adelaide in the press on September the 7th, 1904. Hans' reputation, of course, had made a major shift beyond South Australia, as this was noted on the published engagement announcement. Mrs. Wallahan must have been overjoyed. She had thought that Hans, then aged nearly 27, was too old to still be a bachelor. There is an intriguing small painting by Hans Heisen that hangs behind the bay window curtain in the main bedroom at the Cedars. We don't usually talk about it on a tour, but sometimes visitors peer around the curtain and say, "What's this?" It was painted by Hans Heisen. It'll get round to you folks in a moment. We don't have an official title for it, and it's like almost nothing else that he has painted. It's pre-Raphaelite in style, and it's based on his copy, his student copy of a work that he observed in the Walker Art Gallery in Liverpool in either 1901 or 1902. The key big work I'm talking about is still in Liverpool by Maurice Griffenhagen and inspired D.H. Lawrence in his writing, I believe. So Hans was obviously taken by that interesting figure study and later made the small painting. I'm being a little bit free in my sharing of ideas here. Perhaps it was painted by Hans in lieu of an engagement ring or even as a wedding present to his new bride. The happy couple wasted no time in setting the date for their wedding in December. A simple, quiet ceremony and a celebration in the Bartels family home on Hurtle Square on December the 15th, 1904. Sally's little cousin Meta was present, and as an 80-year-old in 1967, Colin Teely interviewed her. Meta's memories were thus: Sally was a beautiful girl, beautiful, the youngest of four sisters. She wore a buttercup yellow crepe de chine dress, all tucked and gathered into her figure, made by the best dressmaker in the city at the time. Hans was married in his knickerbockers and Norfolk jacket. She said, "I never saw him dressed anything else except one night at the opera, and he had beautiful blue eyes." Of the over 1,600 photographs I've listed in the Hans Heisen Foundation collections, there are no wedding photos that we have discovered. We do have a suite of photos, and you may be familiar with some like this if you've seen them. We do have photographs that were taken on their 50th wedding anniversary in 1954. And in closing, a few final words about the matchmaker. Mrs. Maud Vizard Wallahan continued to be involved with the Heisens up until her death on September the 7th, 1950. And this included holidaying with Sally and baby Josephine in 1907 at Harndorf while Hans was painting in New Zealand. The Heisens subsequently rented that cottage from 1908 for 4 years when they moved to Harndorf from the city. And it was from that cottage that Sally went walking one day up a lane out of Harndorf with Josephine in the pram and discovered a property that was to become her dream home, the Cedars, as it's called, and where Hans built his own purpose-built studio and where he painted until his death in 1968. Thank you.
Jill, that was just
gorgeous. Oh, thank you. I have finished, and there's questions or comments. I'm always happy to hear.
Can I more formally acknowledge what a beautiful talk that was, weaving together such important works in the collection, a story that's not often told or well known. I love the art historical narrative of this idea of Art Nouveau, these kind of sinuous forms of the time that we see in Maud's work and also in Hans's painting here, which are often kind of absorbed within a bigger story of Australian art, but they really underscore this kind of these links to what was happening really internationally at the time. I love the way, Jill, you brought all of this additional material. I feel like we're very, very privileged. And for those of you who are from interstate, no visit to the Art Gallery of South Australia is complete without a visit to its sister, which is the Cedars, so you get the full sense of the story and the full picture. That was just glorious. Thank you so much, Jill. That was very, very beautiful. Please join me in thanking and congratulating Jill.